Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, thanks so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job. This is Brooke Losby, guest hosting for Jen today. And a special thank you to Markham Search for sponsoring. We have today Brendan Watt. Brendan Watt is a speaker, entrepreneur, business, and life mentor. He is the Australian CFO of Access Consciousness, a simple set of profound tools transforming lives across 173 countries. Brendan also draws upon his transformation from a struggling tradesman and single dad to becoming a global speaker. He now facilitates classes and workshops all over the world, encouraging others to step out of judgment and into a more authentic, fulfilling life. Thanks so much, Brendan, for being on the show today.
Thanks, Brooke. It's a pleasure to be here.
I like
hearing that bio because I get to remember how much my life has changed.
That's a great lead-in question, Brendan. So thanks so much for kicking us off. I'd love to hear about your path to becoming an entrepreneur.
Well, I grew up in a small town and became a tradesman. And in Australia here, that was the thing to do. And I just wasn't very happy. So I started looking for some different ways to change my life. And that's when I came across Access Consciousness. And my life started to change around. And it wasn't just I became happier, but I started to see these different ways that I could have more in my life. So I started asking for different things. And I started working with Access. I started doing some different jobs. And then I got a phone call one day from the founder, of Access Consciousness, Gary Douglas. And he said, would you be the CFO of the Australian company? And at that stage, I didn't even know what a CFO was. I didn't know anything about finances, but he saw something in me that I could become. And I just went, yes. And that's when it began. That's when I started knowing that there was more to me than I decided there was. And I just kept moving. I just kept learning, educating myself, talking to people, and mainly making different choices in my life. So that's where it all began. And then from there, I just kept adding things to my life. But I didn't think I could have anything different at one stage. And I think that's where a lot of the people I talk to these days have the point of view. It's like, well, this is what I am. But there's so much more out there if you go beyond that.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit more about misconceptions that people have about money and being stuck in their life.
Well, most of the misconceptions about, well, pretty much most of the things in our lives come from what we've bought from other people. So it's like for example, I grew up very poor, and every time that money came up as a topic, people would argue about it. So for me, money equaled fight. So as I became a young man and started working and stuff, it's like as soon as I'd get money in, I'd get rid of it because I didn't want anything to do with money because I didn't want anything to do with fighting. But we have these things that we pick up from other people, and then we live our lives by it as if it's true for us, when most of the time it's not actually true for us.
That's right. It's almost like a self-limiting belief that we pick up and absorb from other people, yet we aren't even conscious of.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing is we kind of switch off. Like a lot of us kind of, we get into this autopilot mode. So say with the money thing, for example, it's like, I didn't realize that's what I was doing. It wasn't a cognitive thing where I was saying, okay, money's coming in. I need to get rid of it before it creates a fight, but it's there in what I'd learned. So it was there in how I created my life. So that's what I talk to people about is we talk about, okay, so what if this wasn't your reality? And if you were looking for what was true for you, what would that be? And it puts people into a question of, wow, I've never actually looked at what would work for me. I've never even looked at what would be true for me. So that's really where, that's what excites me about, doing this stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So like stripping those default set of thinking, those default modes of thinking that we aren't even aware of. How do you access that?
Well, you got to start with it. It all begins with a question. So it's like, you know, like say, for example, I've worked with I work with children and they might be angry or upset or something. And I'll ask them a question like, OK, so is there somebody in your family that's angry and upset? And they're like, yes, my dad. And, you know, and then it'll be like, OK, so are you trying to take a little bit of this out of him, or are you trying to learn how to be based on how he is choosing? And they're like, oh, and that one moment when they're kind of, their eyes light up, is that's when they recognize that, wait a minute, this isn't even me. This is somebody else that I'm trying to be. And then in that moment, they have a different choice.
Yes, that's it. It's a choice, isn't it?
Yes.
And we can create our choices.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely a choice. And one of the biggest turning points in my life was one of the first classes, access classes that I was at, Gary Douglas, he said, everywhere you are in your life today is based on these choices that you've made. So my money situation was based on the choices I'd made, my relationships, my family, just all of these different things that were quote unquote problems for me at the time. And when I realized that, I went, okay, so if I can create these problems with the choices I'm making, then what if I started making some different choices? And I did that. And as soon as I started making different choices, my whole life turned around.
Wow. I mean, it sounds like you really took responsibility for your situation, anything positive or negative, and then said, how could this be better?
Yeah. And the thing that was keeping me stuck before I started doing this was my point of view and the way I looked at it was, my life sucks because blah, 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 you know, because I had abuse in my upbringing, because I had whatever, because these friends did this, because this family, you know, there was so many excuses that I had to why my life wasn't working, which kept me stuck in it. I couldn't see anything beyond it because I couldn't see how I'd created it. And when I recognized, it wasn't about going, oh, well, I've created bad stuff and making myself wrong for it. It was going, wow, I can create. My choices create, so I can obviously create. Now, what if I put them in a little bit of a different direction and started making them work for me instead of not work for me?
Yes, it's almost like realizing your power.
Uh-huh, yep, definitely. And that's what a lot of us don't do, is we see ourselves as, you know, someone's always greater than us or someone's going to be better than us. Like even looking for a job, for example, it's like when people are going to be interviewed for a job, they think, I've got to have the best resume because I've got to be the best person for this job. But everyone I've talked to, all the bosses and company leaders and stuff like that I've talked to, everyone that they employ is based on who they are, not how their resume looks. And it's like we devalue the gift of being us because we don't know what it looks like.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm curious, we talked a little bit about the myths that people have about money. What other myths do you hear come up a lot?
Well, one of them is it takes hard work to earn money. I mean, I was taught this, so I worked extremely hard to make little money. But it's like, but my point of view on that created it. So it's like what I've learned now is by educating myself and asking questions and looking for different possibilities, it actually doesn't take as much work as you think to make money.
Right.
Another one.
Right.
Yeah. So another one would be like you say, well, let's say you earn, you do 40 hours a week and you earn $1,000 a week. So you say, yep, I earn $1,000 a week, I earn $52,000 a year. That's what I earn. In saying that, you don't allow any other money into your world because you've already decided how much you earn. Every single day I ask for, okay, what other revenue streams can I explore today? What else can I have come into my life today? And what else can I create? Because it's this constant, you keep this constant forward energy in your life that way, and things can just show up.
Right. It's about staying open to the possibilities.
Well, not yet, and not coming to any decisions about how something needs to be, because they're the things that stop us. I mean, if you get up in the morning and you decide that your day is going to suck, I can guarantee you it sucks. But as soon as we come to these fixed ideas and these decisions, that's, we've just already created it as that. So it's like, what I recommend to people is, look, what if you didn't do it from that place and you started looking at, okay, what else is actually possible here with this? Not this is the way it is and this is the way it needs to be.
Exactly. So what tools do you think are helpful to examining and debunking these myths and moving forward?
Well, I think the first thing is to start asking questions. And it's like we're not really taught that much to ask questions. We're more taught to look for answers. So we're constantly looking for answers with money, with our families, with our children, with our work, with all of these things, instead of, I wonder how this could show up. I wonder what else is possible with this. Like, if you start asking questions, then it's like it moves it from being something that has to be into something that can be. And it's like, because as kids, I mean, if you watch a kid, they're not in answer, they're in question. Oh, I wonder what this would smell like. I wonder what this would taste like. I wonder what I could do here. And they have a constant sense of movement because they're always wondering what else is possible. And we seem to give that up when we decide that we have to get life right, which, based on a lot of personal experience, is extremely difficult to get life right. So it's really starting with questions. You know, anywhere where you go, this is how it is, hear yourself say it. And when you hear yourself say it, go, you know what? That's what I used to say, and it always showed up that way. Now I'm going to say, you know what? I wonder what else is possible with this, and I wonder what other ways I could create this rather than what I've decided I needed it to be like.
Right. So it requires really careful insight and focus into our stream of conscious, that dialogue we have going on in our head.
Well, yeah, and it requires you to be present with yourself, because most of us go, like, I don't know about you, but the amount of times I've driven my car somewhere and gotten there and gone, I do not even remember that drive, because I'm so distant from myself, or I'm so caught up in the thoughts that are going on in my head, that I'm not paying attention to anything that's going on around me. So it's like somebody could be offering me some great possibility in life. I'm not even hearing it because I am not present with myself. So it's like, when you get present with yourself, you start hearing the things that come out of your mouth. You'll go, you'll start hearing the things that, like, if you, let's say, for example, if you go, I am so sick of this, and you're always saying, I am so sick of this, I can pretty much guarantee that you get sick a lot. And it's because we use this, like, we use what the words that we use create our lives. And most people don't get that because they don't listen to themselves.
Right. And as you're saying that, as when we speak it, it has even more power than just thinking about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I had a good friend of mine once. He was driving his car. He was thinking to himself. He was thinking to himself, actually, my life's a wreck. My life's a wreck. My life's a wreck. 5 seconds later, he crashed his car. But it's like, but that point of view that he had, and his point of view was his life was a wreck. But we create our lives based on those points of view.
So knowing that and knowing our power, what are some reprogramming that we can do? What are some positive mantras or thought patterns or statements we can say to ourselves?
Well, one of the things that I used and still use a lot, but I used for years to get myself out of this place of, because when I realized that my points of view were creating my reality, they were creating my life. One of the tools we use in Access is, what if everything was an interesting point of view so that it could change in an instant? Because most of us do fixed points of view. So it's, this is it, this is how it's going to be, and that's it. So every fixed point of view that you have, if you start saying, well, that, like, in your head, don't walk around the street saying this, people think you're crazy. But in your head, if you start going, well, that's an interesting point of view, because it shifts it from being something that is solid and fixed in your life to something that you can change in an instant. I mean,
yeah. Can you give me an example?
Yeah, I'll give you a very good example. Actually, I had a friend, and he was in the two friends actually, and they were in Sydney once in Australia, and they were walking down the street, and one of them said to the other, "Let's do sushi for lunch," and the other one said, "No, I don't eat sushi," and he said, "Is that your point of view?" And he went, "No. All right, I'm over it. Let's eat sushi." But he changed his mind in that instant because he realized, wait a minute, that's not even my point of view. So when you start doing this, you'll start seeing, like, if you've got the point of view that, oh, I'm sick of everything or something, is it even your point of view? Or do you work around a lot of people who are sick of everything? Because it's like we pick up these things from everybody around us, and we get into this, like, if you work with a group of people, most of those people will entrain to each other. So it's like if one person's unhappy, everybody starts to become unhappy. It's like if you're in a family and somebody's upset one day, in that family, other people in the family start to get upset. And we do this thing where we pick up on all these things that are going on around us and buy them as if they're ours because we don't know any different. So it's one of the tools I use a lot is who does this belong to? Like, and just by asking that question, you know what, like something will come up in, you know, something will come up in my life. I'll have something or, you know, some weird thing will come up for me or something. And I'll say, who does that belong to? Well, that's not even mine. That's not even the way I function. But I'm functioning that way because I picked it up from somebody else.
I love that question. Who mm-hmm. does it belong to? Because it forces us to examine every pattern that we have, every thought that we have, and really to be conscious about creating the thoughts that we want to have.
Yeah, and that's
so
it.
Knowing.
And that's,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's being totally aware of what it is that. Where you're coming from, because most people aren't looking for that. So it's really, like you said, conscious, the conscious way of doing it. Conscious way of doing it is never going to that place of it is what it is. It's always going to the place of question.
Mm-hmm. Like a curiosity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So a lot of people have, thoughts about change. Change can be bad. Change is scary. How can change be positive?
Well, the thing with the idea of change can be bad and change can be scary, is that actually your point of view? Because for me, it was like, and what a lot of us do, like, for example, it's like, I just released a book. And I've got some TV spots coming up in the US, and I've never been on TV before. And they're, you know, Fox News and stuff like this. And I was like, oh, I'm nervous. And I was like, okay, wait a minute. Am I actually nervous or am I excited? So we get to this, and I was like, I'm excited. I get to be on TV. I'm excited. I'm not actually nervous. So when people do this, get to this thing of, you know, change is scary and change is, you know, unknown and change is uncomfortable. Yet, is that actually true? Or is that what you've misidentified, misapplied as something else? Or is that what you've picked up from everybody else around you? Because if you watch kids, it's like they'll change in an instant. And it's like, okay, change. Okay, change. Okay, change. And they do it without a point of view about it. But we seem to pick up along the way that our life needs to maintain in some straight line in order for us to control it. And what I've noticed is the more that you're willing to have the change, the greater your life gets.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And you're talking too about how the fact that we not only can control our thought patterns and what we're thinking or saying, but we can also control our emotions.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's like I said before with the who does this belong to, like, with the emotional stuff, when you go, I'm sad. Okay. Are you actually sad? No one questions it. That's that place where you got to question it and go, who does this belong to? Oh, it's not even mine. Okay. I'm over it. It's like we live. I mean, if we look at it, we live in a world of I think it's almost 8 billion people. How much sadness is, how many people out of those 8 billion are doing sadness or unhappiness or whatever it is? But like I said before, when we entrain to people in our workplace, how much do we entrain to people on the planet as well? So you've got to be in that question of, is this, who's this belong to? Is this even mine? And it's,
that's
it's,
a good point.
Yeah.
And how much of a responsibility then is it also for us to be putting ourselves in association with others that will bring us up and open up this possibility?
Yeah. Well, what we tend to do is, what we tend to do is, like, that's what I like to look at, is I like to be around people who are creative and are asking for bigger lives because it inspires me to ask for a bigger life. But what I used to do was I used to be around people who were unhappy because my job in the whole world was to make people happy. Hello. So it was like I'd be around people who were unhappy so I could do every single thing I could to make them happy. But at that stage in my life, I didn't recognize that they were actually choosing to be unhappy. So when somebody's choosing to be unhappy or choosing to be sad or choosing to be angry, it's like there's nothing you can do until they're willing to make a different choice. And most of us will give ourselves up to make this person less sad, make this person more happy. But if you recognize, wait a minute, they're choosing it, then you can be an invitation to them making a different choice. And recognize that you don't have to save them.
It reminds me of that joke. Before you think you're depressed, look around and make sure you're not surrounded by a bunch of a-holes.
Perfect example. Because it is. It's true. It's like, because you'll get up in the morning and go, oh, I'm depressed. And it's like, okay, no, I'm not. I'm in a neighborhood full of depressed people or something, you know, but it's like, but look around you first and go, okay, where am I? Like, I mean, if I'm in an environment where there's stress in people's world, I'll go in there. And if I'm not, like I said before, present with myself, then I'll go, oh, I'm stressed. What am I stressed about? As soon as I go to, I'm stressed, what am I stressed about? I've already locked that into my world because I've decided I'm stressed. Now, when that comes up, I go, wait a minute, where am I? Who does this belong to? And it shifts it. So it's that thing of, I'd love to say it, you just pick this up, but it takes a little bit of time to, it's a muscle that you need to build. Because when you're so used to being on, you know, autopilot or just living life as it comes by or, you know, just getting by, then the idea of being present in every moment can seem like, how am I going to do that? But you got to start. You got to start with, okay, if I was present right now, like even for me, for example, if I'm not, you know, feeling like I'm present, I'll be like, okay, feel my butt in the seat or feel my feet on the floor. What do I smell around me? Because it connects me with my body and I know I'm here and what's going on around me.
I love that. That's a great tool to get yourself in the present moment, is using our five senses, right? What am I smelling? What are three things that I'm seeing right now?
Yeah.
What do I feel like in this chair? Yeah, that really can tune us into the moment. And then I love the idea of using our mind as a muscle to constantly be reframing and asking ourselves these questions. It's something that we build up to.
Well, one of the things I learned, because I used to be a thinker. I used to be a thinker, think a lot. You know, I'd try and think myself out of everything. And it's like one of the things I learned with using these tools of access consciousness was when I was doing the thinking, I could only ever create based on what I'd learned in the past. Because that's all our minds can tell us. Our minds can only tell us what they've learned. Your mind does not have the capacity to extrapolate into possibilities that you do not even know exist just yet. But it's like, but if you start, what the question does is the question bypasses the mind. Because it's not about asking the question, like, who does it belong to? For example, the question I used before. If you did that, your mind cannot comprehend it because your mind's going, what do you mean, who does it belong to? It can't see that there's something else that could exist outside of what it can tell you. So what I do is I teach people about asking questions instead of thinking. Because if we could think, out ourselves into a greater life, we'd all have greater lives. We'd all think ourselves into whatever it is that we desire, but we can't. Something seems to stop us because our mind is not this creative capacity that we have based on what we can ask and what we can be aware of.
Right. So that realization that we are not our mind and we can use and leverage our mind by putting it in the right frame of reference to ask these questions.
Well, yeah. And recognizing that the big thing is recognizing that it's not you. You know, most people think their mind is them. Their mind is what makes them up. And no, your mind is a creation. I mean, we don't come in thinking. You don't, as a baby, you're not coming in going, oh, what do I have to do tomorrow? What's going on with the kids? You create it as you go through. And that's why the mind can be such a dangerous thing, because we create it based on what we pick up that's going on around us. You know, if you have angry parents, you're growing up thinking all the time that you're angry. So it's about realizing that the mind is not you. You do not equal your mind.
I think that is a powerful message that we need to be aware of. And Brendan, gosh, this is great. I've so enjoyed talking to you so far, and I could keep talking to you forever. but I'm curious, mm-hmm. is there any message that you'd like to let our listeners know that you haven't mentioned yet that would be helpful?
I haven't mentioned yet that would be helpful. Look, I think the biggest thing that we've talked about, two of the biggest things is question and choice. These are the two things that sound simple, right? It's like ask a question. Oh yeah, I know how to ask a question. And choice. Oh yeah, I know how to make a choice. But there's, once you start looking at it from a different place, like this is why some of the seminars I do go for 3 or 4 days, because there's so many different aspects to these things. But if you start with those two, okay, what question could I ask here? Instead of what conclusion have I come to? What question can I ask here? And then once you ask that question, you could go, okay, now what choice do I have available? That puts you in a state of constant movement rather than constant stopping, because you're always looking for, okay, what's the next choice? And for me, I'm always looking at, okay, if my life stops, like if I get to a point where it's like, oh, nothing's moving, nothing's working, okay, I've stopped choosing. All right, now what choices do I need to make? And I'll start moving again, because I'm putting that energy into a creative way into my life and into my future.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be
constant
the two
creation.
Biggest, I would say. Every choice you make, like every single choice you make creates something. If I choose to stand up out of this chair, I'm standing up. It's created that. But it's like most of us won't look at the place of, what is this choice going to create? We look at it as, I'll just choose it because that's what everybody else is choosing. Hence how we end up kind of creating lives like everybody else creates, not beyond them. So it's like, if you look at it from, what choice do I have available right now that I've never been willing to choose before or never even knew existed before? And just that question will start giving you a different sense of what else it is that is available for you.
Stepping into our creative potential. I love that, mm-hmm. Brendan.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today on the show. And
thank you
again
so much
to everyone. Yeah, and thank you to everyone who tuned in today. And just a reminder, we invite you to subscribe and listen at your leisure on iTunes under Get Yourself the Job. And of course, please tune in next week at 4 p.m. Wishing everyone a wonderful week.
Thank you.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.